Good morning. It's good to see you guys. Jared, I saw you come in, and I just have to report, I started back up on the cabinet project. I'm on. He's holding me accountable, so I'm sorry to do personal business in front of the church, but it's good to be here. I'm glad you're here. It's Memorial Day weekend, people. I love Memorial Day weekend because summer, this is when summer starts for me. So I'm bringing on the sun, we're going to bring on the fun, we're going to bring on the heat. I love to sweat, and it's going to happen. My wife's a teacher, I had a couple kids still in school. So once if we can get to the end of the school year, we can really roll this out. I love the last day of school, because at our house, we have ice cream for dinner. Like, that's what we eat for dinner, is ice cream. You can do this too. June 10th, last day of school, your mom won't even know. My mom doesn't know I do it. And here's the problem with it. Just a fair warning. Here's the problem. You're hungry like an hour later. But there's no rule that says you can't have second ice cream. Right? Ice cream for dinner is coming. Summer, it's going to be great. I can't wait. I cannot wait. We are in the last part of our series through the book of James. And we've been going through it. And this is a book that's written by Jesus' brother, and he's writing to Jewish believers who are scattered all over because of persecution. And he's writing to remind them of things that Jesus had taught, things that he wanted them to be able to remember. And, you know, as we've been going through this book, I've once again been reminded that if, like, this was like one of the only books that we had that talked about what Jesus talked about when he was here, honestly, I would think, man, he's got a lot of really straightforward, harsh, kind of mean things to say all the time. James doesn't hold back. It's going to continue today. It's a good book, and I resonate with EJ Winslow. She taught through this whole book this year at Community Bible Study. If you want to know about Community Bible Study, here it is. A bunch of women from churches all over the area, they come together to study God's Word together. We can give you more information on that if you want it. But she spent the year teaching through James, and we were talking after the first time I gave a talk during the series, and she said she has this love-hate relationship with the book, and that feels about right to me. Feels about right because there are tough instructions for us here, and you're going to feel it again today. This is not like a bright, sunny talk, but the sun will be waiting for us out there. You know, as I've considered this series, that we continue to see things that are simple to say, I mean, relatively simple to understand and hard to do. And today we're going to consider, what if we submitted to God? So before we take a look at this, I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask God to help us. Let's pray. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you that we can read it for ourselves, and I thank you that you speak through it. I pray that during our time today, that you will show us more your heart for us, how you feel about us. We ask you to speak. Amen. So we're going to be looking at the first 10 verses of chapter 4 of James, and he gets right after it here. He says this, "What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you?" All right, just to pause here. James is just going to continue to shoot straight. So how are we going to do this? Like how? How are we going to obey these words? It's not going to be easy. So before we move on, I want to remind us of something, that we're not left on our own to obey. Today, God's church around the world, in the religious calendar, we are celebrating Pentecost. And today is the day that we remember of the coming of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus, when he was here, he had said, "One is going to come who's better than me, and that one is the Spirit." And when the Spirit came on those who believed, everything changed. Everything changed. God with us, it took on a whole new meaning. The power we would need to obey him was with us all the time. The Spirit is how we can obey these harsh, clear, difficult instructions. Okay, let's go back to James 4. Verse 1. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Okay, one more aside here. One more aside. We see this all the time, right? People not getting along. Like, if you look at the last 2 weeks alone in our country, we've got two senseless shootings that happen, innocent life stolen. There's a war still going on in Ukraine, and there are probably wars going all over that we don't even talk about. But hate and violence, it's left us devastated, confused, bewildered, crushed, broken. And so, God, we cry out to you. We're desperate. We need help. You say you're near the brokenhearted. I believe that, and I ask you to be that way. Please help. All right, we'll see if I can keep going here in James 4. No more asides, maybe. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but can't get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You don't have because you don't ask God. When you ask, you don't receive because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your own pleasures. All right, people don't get along. They don't get along all the time. This isn't new. And James is saying that the reason that I don't get along with you is me. I don't like that. The reason that you don't get along with me is you. Doesn't feel good. And as James goes on here, I agree with him. I want something. I don't have it. So I grasp for it. And the more I want it, the more I'm willing to do things to get it. James offers a solution. He says, well, if you want something, ask God for it. You don't have it because you don't ask God for it. That's simple. I like it. Silly me. I should have just asked. I should have just asked for that boat, or I should have just asked for that coworker to get transferred so they have to move away. And everyone I work with is wondering, is he talking about me? Maybe. Maybe ice cream for dinner is a good, healthy option. I should have just asked. I have asked. Nothing has happened. I won't be riding in my own boat tomorrow. James says the reason that I don't have is that I have asked in order to increase my comfort and my pleasure, which is true. The motivation wasn't service to others. The motivation wasn't to love God more. The motivation was me. And this can be hard to navigate. Like, this can be hard to navigate. And I think a question we could ask when we're in this situation is, how will God's plan be advanced through granting what I'm asking for? We should ask boldly. God wants to meet our needs in our journeys with him. At the end of the day, we have quarrels because we don't trust God with all our needs. And we effort. Sometimes I do very diligently to meet them on our own. James 4 goes on in verse 4. You adulterous people. Yikes. Don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity with God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Man. He says, you don't have like this fulfilling relationship with God. Like you could have this, but since you don't actually truly trust God to meet all your needs, you cheat on him. You're unfaithful. You ask for things you want, things that would replace him. And Jesus, he had talked about this before, and James is bringing this back up. There came a point in Jesus' ministry where the religious leaders of the day, they were trying to do everything they could to control him and to contain him. And they'd show up at places he was teaching, and they would ask these subtle questions in order to try to trap him. And at one point, Jesus turns to them and answers their question by charging them as wicked and adulterous people because they were demanding some miracles. the problem of not being fully submitted to God and his ways and his mission, they've been around since the beginning. And the problem that we have is that we're continually looking for shortcuts. We're looking for shortcuts. When we want to be satisfied by our own desires, we're committing idolatry. And in our idolatry, we are turning and worshiping something other than God. I do this. We do this. I mean, we're people who we hold back from God. Like, what I mean is, like, I keep just a little to myself that I'm going to manage. I'm going to manage this, and I justify it by convincing myself, well, it's not that big of a deal. It's not like this huge piece. It's just a little bit for myself. But in the end, this is adulterous. And this one hurts. As I was preparing this talk, I would come to this point, and I'm like, I mean, I do this, like, all the time. It hurts because it's true. This tone that James is carrying, it moves on into verse 5. Last part of verse 4 and verse 5 says this: therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that he jealously longs for the Spirit he has caused to dwell in us? When we pursue the things that are not of God, we're saying, you're not enough. And God's response to this is jealousy, like a righteous jealousy, because he loves us, like he loves us, and he wants to be with us, and he can't be stained by the things of the world that I dabble in. It affects him. It affects him. It affects our ability to be with him. And as James, he's using strong language here because he's trying to grab our attention, because he doesn't want us to miss out. And I read these verses, and if I'm not defensive, like if I'm not defensive, if I'm not trying to deflect and say, well, he's not actually talking to me, if I look closely, I see that God really actually wants to have a relationship with me. Like, he really wants to have a relationship with you. And this should cause us pause. Like, we should evaluate. Are we so in love with the world and the things of the world that we're trying to find fulfillment in things that are not God? And this is convicting to me because I can't say that I want God and I also want to protect these things over here for myself. I can't say, I want you, but these things, these are mine. This won't work for God. He wants all of us. Like, he wants all of me. And not to be fully in, it's costly, because we're called the enemy of God, and this is not a label we want. This doesn't feel good. Stay with me. It's going to be okay. We're going to move on to verse 6, and the tone changes a bit. It says this, but, we'll just pause here, just breathe. But he gives us more grace. And that is why Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but he shows favor to the humble. But he gives. That's better. I like that. And he doesn't just give a little. He gives more, and he gives it. What he gives is grace, and it's a lot. It'll be okay. The things that James has said so far in this chapter are clear. They're a bit harsh to me, and we're guilty of them. Like, we've done those things. But he gives grace, and not just a little bit. It says more. The proud are going to be oppressed, but the humble are shown favor. It's not like this is easy. Like, these are easy words again to say, but not easy to do. But there's hope here. Pride. Containing our pride, it takes maintenance. Tony Evans describes it this way. He says, pride is like a beard. It grows without our cultivation, and we have to daily humbly shave it off. Now, I can't grow a beard yet. I turn 48 next month. Maybe this is my year. We'll see. But I can grow some pride. I work hard at it, and it just comes. But I want favor, not opposition, don't you? Right? God help us. So this is serious stuff. Like, this is serious, and we need a solution. And James moves on to what I see as a solution in verse 7. He says this: Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Ooh. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Like on scaffolding. That's why we left it up. Eh? That wasn't planned. But what does it look like to daily humble yourselves before God? Like, what does this look like? It looks like submitting to God, like recognizing our weaknesses to stop fighting and surrender, like surrender to him as our ultimate authority. It looks like resisting the devil. Resisting, it's the opposite of submitting. It looks like this is not going to be easy, but it's going to be worth it. It looks like cleansing yourself before God, repenting of sin, and then having him purify our hearts. And when we resist the devil, he will flee. And when we come near to God, he'll not flee. He'll actually do the opposite. He'll come near. When we submit to God, like if we bend our knee to God and we are humble before God, he will lift us up. These are promises. Like, you can count on these. And you want to know what's crazy? You want to know what's crazy is this is true regardless of our story. It doesn't matter. This is grace. Like, this is more grace. When we submit to God, he won't just not be our enemy. He'll be near. We have a solution, but I think there's something we need to be aware of here. As I look at these verses, there is a posture that we need to take. Sin. We talk about it sometimes. It's not the most fun thing to talk about, but it is important. It is important because it's my sin and it's your sin that keeps God at a distance. It's not really the most comfortable thing to talk about, but I think sometimes we talk about like the ways we failed and not measure up, and in this discomfort, I think we soften it. We say things like brokenness, we've made mistakes, we've messed up. All those are true. But when we soften these things, I think we minimize the gravity of our state. We need to take sin seriously. We need to wash our sin-stained hands. We need to purify our hearts. We need to grieve. We need to mourn. We need to wail. Have you ever heard someone wail? Ideen has. Boom. When I was just out of high school, like a week or so out of high school, I went and spent the summer in the Central African Republic. And I have found that when you get in the places of life that are off the beaten path, you get to see some crazy things. And this opportunity came when I was there off the beaten path to take a man home to his home area to die. He was dying. And so we went and we had a drive, like way, way off the beaten path. That was some drive. Stories for years out of that, not for now, but another time. But anyways, I'm riding in the back of a pickup, like in the outside part of the pickup, just watching Africa go by. And in the back seat, it was like a double cab. So in the back seat, the man was, he was laying there. And as we're bumping along here, the man, he died, which we were expecting. And after he passed away, shortly thereafter, we pulled over. And the missionary that I had spent the summer with, he was driving, he got out, and some people had come to the side of the road, and he told them what had happened. And the wailing started, like, immediately. And I was shocked. But it was nothing compared to what was coming. We got back on the road, and I'd been told that everybody knew this guy. Like, everybody knows him. And as we drove, I began to see what that meant, because we would come up to villages, and people would come out to the side of the road. And you see, the first stop we had, those people were told, hey, tell the people at his home that we're coming so they can be ready. And they told them by drums, like literally like talking drums. They sent the message by drums, and that message had gone forward, and people came to the side of the road and they wailed. Pain, grief. It was like a sad parade. And it was like this the whole way we went, a long time. Like this was hours. It was loud, it was dramatic, and it was shocking for a kid who grew up in Grand Rapids, Michigan. This is the picture that I have of how we're supposed to respond to our sin. When we minimize our sin, we're guilty of that pride that James speaks of here. But when we take our sin seriously, we're demonstrating the humility that he talks about here. While our sin is serious and needs to be seen that way, God's grace is more. When we can be honest with God, and we can be honest with God because he keeps his promises, and our sin is going to be met with grace, more grace. And Jesus' blood, it's going to make our hands clean. It's going to make our hearts clean. And when we are cleaned, we are welcomed into relationship with God. And as we humble ourselves, he will lift us up. That's what he says. What if we were submitted to God? What if? You know, when I was first asked to give this talk, I thought, well, this one's not so bad. At least it's better than the first one I had to do, which is basically just do what the Bible says, all of it. But as I was preparing for today, I was like, oh, man, I'm in trouble here. Because this one isn't as easy as it is straightforward also. James, he says, you want to know why you don't get along with each other? You want to know why? It's because you're not completely submitted to God. Submitting to God is complete surrender to him and his ways. And if we hold anything back, then we're not submitted to God. Pride, it has no place in our relationship with God. It's not how good we can make ourselves look. It's all about acknowledging our sin and having that be met with the grace of God. Humility, like true humility, is facing the seriousness of our sin, dealing with our disobedience of what God has called us to, and having that be the place where we experience this grace. This is hard. This is pretty humbling. This is beautiful. This is what Jesus did for all of us. I'm going to pray. God, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for making a way to deal with our sin so that we can be in relationship with you. I pray that you will help us. We need your help. Amen. As we close, we're going to have a couple minutes to reflect, as we've had at the end of other talks in the series. And I'm going to read the passage again. And as we reflect, may the Spirit of God, the one that we remember on this day, speak to you, convict you, show you what you need to do to move forward. There'll be a couple prompts on the screen. You need a place to start, and I'll mind the clock, and then I'll come back up and close. But I will read James 4, 1 to 10, and I'm going to read it from the message this time. It says this: where do you think all these appalling wars and quarrels come from? Do you think they just happen? Think again. They come about because you want your own way, and you fight deep inside yourselves. You lust for what you don't have and are willing to kill to get it. You want when it isn't yours and will risk violence to get your hands on it. You wouldn't think of just asking God for it, would you? And why not? Because you know you'd be asking for what you have no right to. You're spoiled children, each wanting your own way. You're cheating on God. If all you want is your own way, flirting with the world every chance you get, you end up enemies of God and his way. And do you suppose God doesn't care? The Proverbs has it that he's a fiercely jealous lover. And what he gives in love is far better than anything else you'll find. It's common knowledge that God goes against the willful proud, and God gives grace to the willing humble. So let God work his will in you. Yell a loud no to the devil and watch him make himself scarce. Say a quiet yes to God, and he'll be there in no time. Quit dabbling in sin. Purify your inner life. Quit playing the field. Hit bottom and cry your eyes out. The fun and games are over. Get serious, really serious. Get down on your knees before the master. It's the only way you'll get on your feet. God, we thank you that you want to be in a relationship with us. Give us what we need to follow and obey. Amen.